And now come closer and hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus was walking down a road, a man ran up to him. He knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what can I do to have eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Be faithful in marriage. Do not steal. Do not tell lies about others. Do not cheat. Respect your father and mother." The man answered, "Teacher, I have obeyed all of these commandments since I was a young man." Jesus looked closely at the man. He liked him, and he said, "There's one thing you still need to do. Go sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come with me." When the man heard Jesus say this, he went away gloomy and sad because he was very rich. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. My daughter Ashley and I visited our other daughter, Maddie, in New Hampshire last week. While we were there, I got the chance to see my childhood friend, Lisa. Lisa and I met when we were in the sixth grade and we were best friends. We lived three houses from each other and we did everything together. We did our homework together, we spied on our sisters together, and we even dressed alike when we could. I have a lot of great memories with Lisa, and I had a great time reminiscing with her last week. One of the things we recalled was how her father taught us how to sail. It was such a grand adventure for these two young girls to be on a boat, and what patience for her father. He never complained when we ended up tipping the boat, which meant we had to drive home holding the camera outside the window all the way so the wind would dry it out on the inside. Amazingly, that camera always kept working, and her dad always kept taking us sailing. One time, however, we sailed the boat into the dock, and while Lisa's dad went to go get the car, Lisa and I were tasked with cleaning out the boat and getting it ready to get on the trailer. Somehow we got distracted, and neither of us could remember last week what exactly happened, but when her dad showed up with the car, we weren't there, and the boat wasn't there. We didn't secure it to the dock, and we took off somewhere, and Lisa's dad had to get in the water, swim out to the boat, sail it back, and then we helped him get it on the trailer. He must have really loved sailing, because he kept taking us even after that. But the thing with boats is, if you don't secure them, they're not going to stay where you put them. That's why they have ropes and anchors. The water is unpredictable. The weather and the wind is unpredictable. And while teaching us to sail that boat was probably not the biggest risk her father has ever taken, he sure took a risk spending so many weekends with two teenage girls. Our lives are filled with risks all the time. Just getting in the car to drive here this morning was a risk in and of itself. What risks have you taken? What risks are you taking now? The man in this scripture this morning took a risk. He had no idea what Jesus was going to say to him when he asks, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And he must have breathed a sigh of relief when Jesus told him to obey the commandments, because he was a good man. He had been obeying those commandments since he was a young man. He was an upstanding citizen. But then Jesus says, "Oh, wait, there's one more thing. Sell everything you have, give your money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come follow me." Ouch. That's the risky part, the really risky part. Of course this man wanted to walk away gloomy and sad. That's a huge ask. But what Jesus is really saying is, If you hold on to your things, your possessions, your money, so tight, you'll miss out on the riches of God and on the amazing things God has to offer us in this life. In other words, we have to anchor ourselves into something other than ourselves. If we only anchor to ourselves or to some promise or product of the world, our security only comes from what we do, and that's pretty risky. But if we anchor ourselves in God, if we secure ourselves firmly in God, the risk of life isn't so risky. And while the waves may come splashing upon us, and while the boat may tip over a time or two or drift away from the dock, we're not going anywhere because we're anchored. Anchored in a secure place. Anchored in a place of steady peace that is available to us. A place of unwavering love and holiness. A place that is not risky, but is safe. Do we believe this? Do we believe that ultimately our anchor needs to be in God and not in something else we believe in? Because those other things we believe in, they're good, but they are our buoys, not our anchor. A buoy is an anchored float serving as a navigation mark to show where reefs or other hazards are in the water. And there are lots of great things out there that work as our buoys that give us direction and warning. But those things do not secure us. They help us, for sure. But they are not what keeps us steady in our peace or returning to our peace. Do we believe this? Do we really believe that whatever happens, God will be our steady? That God will anchor us in love and peace every time. Every time we need it. If we believe this, then this is what gives us peace of mind. This is what doesn't let us walk away sad and gloomy. This is what keeps us alive and lets us really live. Because life is risky, but God is our security. And Christians are risk takers. We go beyond the standard rule. We go above and beyond the average norm for the sake of abundant life, for the sake of real riches. The early Christians, those very first followers of Jesus, were known as the people who weren't afraid of anything. Boils on the skin, leprosy on the hands, tax collectors in the marketplace. Those things could not confine them to a life of fear or apprehension. Instead, they stayed open to God and to what Jesus was teaching and grounded themselves there, right there in God's love. And recognize that everyone has a need for God. And everyone's need for God was just as great as their own. We all need God. We all desire abundant life. We all desire to be rich in love and in life. And today, the day when we pledge what we will give to this church for the coming year of 2019, I am asking each of us to take a risk. I am asking us to risk believing. I am asking us to believe that God will keep us secure, even though we are pledging our money. I am asking all of us to believe that we will be okay, even if we might be increasing our giving. Basically, I am asking us to believe in the true riches we have in Christ. Eternal life that is ours. I am asking each of us to risk believing that the things of this earth are good, and they are, and they're fun, but that the things of God are better and sustaining. And that's huge. And it's so risky. But what do we believe can be done with the money we give? What do we believe can be done within ourselves when we give? What do we believe God can do? What big dream can happen? What bold love will prevail? What will we give, and what will we get when we give? What do you believe you will get? What riches will be yours? Because when we are anchored in God, and when we are secure in God, it makes the risk less risky. When we know God and God's riches, we can be courageous. So give believing. Believing that God can do all things with what we have and with what we give. I'm going to ask each of us to take a risk right now and fill out our pledge cards. Then the ushers will lead us in coming forward to put them in this box right here. And together, as a church, we will anchor ourselves in God. Before you fill these out, let us pray. Loving God, you were rich, rich with all the world. Yet for our sakes, you came into this world through your Son, Jesus Christ, and became poor, so that through your poverty, we might become rich. Rich in love and rich in abundant life. Accept our pledges now as a token of our gratitude for all you have done for us. Amen. Please fill out your cards.